this morning we're going to do just that and attempt that and do my best to accommodate the scriptures and let them do the speaking for me. You know, as a topic, I looked at a subject, more of a character study, and I hope you enjoy the older stories like I do, the Old Testament stories, and the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. The scriptures tell us that. I don't know if it's the way God dealt with man at that point or how the stories flow, but there's something that just appeals to me. And we know those things can apply to us today, and very much so do. And we can understand God better by looking at the older stories and say, wow, you know, I get a better understanding of how God intended this or expects us to react or wants us to respond or be proactive, whatever it may be. So as I get into this subject this morning, I believe this lesson will apply to everybody like this. I think as we look at the story I'm about to indulge in, we can look at it and say, okay, as a Christian, where do I stand? As a parent, where do I stand? As a whatever category you find yourself in, I do believe this will apply, but very much so, and I don't want to neglect this at all, it affects leadership of God's people. So I don't want the women or those who are younger age and haven't taken leadership yet to understand, oh, this isn't for me. What kind of example are you setting? What kind of pattern are we living? What kind of process are we going through? Are we obeying what God asked us to do? Are we following exactly what God intended us for us to do? The topic I want to talk about this morning is do an overview of what Moses' life was like coming out of the Exodus. You know, and as we're looking at, we're ever so close to the eldership here at this congregation, I think it was fitting and appropriate that we look at a situation like this where we have a leader. A great leader, Moses, the Bible talks about him. And look at some things he did, maybe not always the best. And people think of Moses as a great leader. He was, absolutely. Won't deny it. But there's some things that Moses did wasn't always good, was it? There's some things he struggled with. There's some things he needed help with. And I want to see how he handled that and talk about those just for a little bit this morning and put ourselves as a Christian or maybe as in a leadership role. Where do we stand as a parent raising a kid? Have I made that right example? Have I followed the pattern that God has given me? Am I doing those things I need to do? And could I fall into a trap maybe, as the scriptures will show us, or could I be found in error in any way? You know, Moses, a couple things we're going to talk about real quick. And for time's sake, there's no way we're going to cover Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Exodus. So we're going to highlight this, folks, I promise you. But take notes on the verses if you'd like. And I apologize if I kind of breeze over some parts that maybe you wish we could focus on a little more. But for time's sake, we're going to move through it. But a highlight of Moses, just so we're all back on the same page. Moses, you know, he had a sister, Miriam. He had a brother named Aaron. He was well-educated. You know, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was raised and educated and well-educated for 40 years in Egypt. One of the things Moses did, you know, he was preserved in childhood. We know that. He didn't, I guess I'm jumping ahead, but let's go ahead and do this. You know, some highlights of what he did good. Let's just look at some of the things real quickly. You know, he controlled the seas. It says he had endured murmurings. He had intercessions and prayers for people, not just people, but God's people. He made those. He spoke as oracles of God, the Bible tells us. He had up to 70 helpers. He established memorials. He appeared after death. And he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter, 9, I do believe. Those are the roll call of faith. He died in faith. It talks about Moses being in faith. A lot of things Moses did, and a lot of things he was accredited for, and a lot of, and rightfully so, the leadership capabilities. You know, the story today won't do it justice, but there was, you know, a factor of Moses that we overlook a lot of times, and we want to get into that. You know, Moses as a name is one of drawing out. The scriptures tell us that by definition. It's drawing out or coming out from, drawing out, rescuing, pulling out, if you will. So Moses, by name, has that name of deliverance, which Exodus is a book of deliverance, as we're told, you know. And it was from his birth, that's kind of the model you're going to see from Moses, taking this line that from his name on becomes this great leader of God's people, this great deliverer, if you will, we read about in the Exodus. Adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in wealth. Now, don't forget where he was. His last name could be Obama today. Let's just put it in perspective. He had the world at his fingertips. He had wealth. He had a mansion. He had servants. He had training. He had education. If he wanted it, he got it. His father, so to speak, adopted, I guess father you would. I'm not really a father, but the Pharaoh, I mean, how much more power could you have? Nobody was going to touch Moses. Nothing would affect him. hunger, starvation, lack of food, lack of house, none of that was going to affect Moses. He had everything at his fingertips. So don't lose sight of who Moses was as a young man growing up from 40 years in Egypt. He saw himself, though, always as an Israelite. You know, he had a relationship with those people, those poor peasants down there on their hands and knees in the mud and the clay, meeting together bricks out of straw, not well fed, not well housed, not well clothed, ill-treated, abused, overworked, poverty-stricken, probably smelly people that nobody wanted to deal with. They're just slaves, the children of Israel. And today, people like that just don't walk past those people and say, man, these are my people. Well, they do it for votes, maybe. But that wasn't what Moses was about. He, in his heart, felt he had a tie to these people. He had a tie to the Israelites. You know, Moses was called to lead beginning in Exodus chapter 3. We start there with the story of what we're going to kind of pick up on. You can turn if you'd like. In the first few verses, he was called out to lead. He was called to lead God's people. He fled to the desert. Let me back up 1 second. I left off a key point. You know, Moses had a tie to the God's people there, and he felt a tie to the Israelites and knew these were brothers of his, sisters of his. He felt that. He knew that. He never lost sight of that. And then one day he comes along and sees these Egyptians beating some of his brothers, beating them, whipping them, whatever it may be. Moses, in a rage or anger or defense, came to their defense and slew that Egyptian. The story goes as this, to cut to the chase and move on with the topic here, is the fact that he killed his own, an Egyptian. Now Pharaoh wanted Moses dead. Moses knew this got heard, and he fled to the wilderness. He fled Egypt. He left Egypt. He defended those poor peasant people, those ones he associated himself with, to the point where he killed one of those soldiers that were given charge of watching over Moses himself, if you will. And he slew that Egyptian, hit him in the desert. It was found out, and he fled to the wilderness. He took off. He hid. But now in Exodus chapter 3, we see God comes to him and says, look, Moses, you're going to lead my people. You're going to direct my people. I want you to do this thing for me. I want you to go back. I want you to talk to the children of Israel. I want you to be their guide and their leader. Well, in verses 1 through 12, it talks about the command to do that. God asked him to lead. Now, sometimes some people want to lead that aren't qualified, and some people don't want to lead that are qualified. They got to be pushed. Moses kind of falls into other categories. No. You're not pulling me into this. Now, I'm not a leader. I'm not going to do it. Exodus chapter 4, so he starts making excuses. 4 and 1. It didn't take long. And he says, no, Lord, nope, not me. Can't do it. Yeah, there's better people than me. You know, I'm not eloquent in speech. I'm not this. I'm not that. The people are not going to listen to me. He was a reluctant leader, wasn't he? He pushed back. Now, we don't think about that as Moses. We think, man, he was this great biblical leader, and he was. But we don't see there. We don't focus on that early stage of his life where he's pushing back. I don't want no part of this. No. Let somebody else lead. Somebody else's job. Now, spiritually speaking, how many times do we do that? Serving God under the new law. No, Lord, I know you told us to do that, but somebody else is better at that than me. Somebody else can do it. Let somebody else take charge. Let somebody else teach. Let somebody else go talk to that poor person over here or discuss their Bible study over here. Let somebody else is better at that. We push off, don't we? We push back. Well, Moses, being human, he did the very same thing. He had weaknesses, and one of his weaknesses was he felt insignificant to handle this task at hand. He didn't feel that he was a worthy leader for what God had called him to do. But we see in verse 4 and 1, it says, Exodus 4 and 1 says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So then he starts telling the Lord, they're not going to believe me, they're not going to think you talked to me. End of story, so somebody else is better off. Not necessarily a good trait of Moses we think about, pushing off his duty. God called him. You know, that's not much different than us today. We got the New Testament. God speaks to us through his son, Jesus Christ. He tells us that. That word today is a written word, the New Testament. And he speaks to us to Christ saying, come, labor. He says, come, lead. You may lead in the home. You may lead by example. You may lead in other areas. It may not be the male leadership we're talking about here. It may be a woman guiding the home. But it says, be that Christian model. Be that Christian guide. Be that example. Speak my words. Instead, Moses said, I can't do that. I can't do that. Is it he can't or won't? And then we ask myself, okay, I'm not doing this because I won't or can't. Do I decide I can or can't? Which is it? Do I have the ability to speak? Well, I do. Do I have the ability to read the word? Yes. Do I have the ability to understand it? Yes. Do I need to share that with others? The Bible tells me I need to. I'm commanded to do such things. God himself tells Moses, do this. Can't do it, Lord. Can't do it. Well, we look at a bad trait here. You know, a bad trait of Moses, I guess that would fall under it. Early on, he was reluctant to lead. He was reluctant to take up the call of Christ or call of God, to go spread his word and free the children of Israel out of Egypt and go face Pharaoh and talk to him. Part of it might have been fear. Fear for himself, his own personal safety. We fear about ourselves. Oh, they're gonna make fun of me. They're gonna hurt me. They're gonna make jokes. Moses maybe feared for his life even, but God said, it doesn't matter. You need to go do this. You need to go talk to Pharaoh. I know he's mad. I know you slew one of them, but you're gonna be a leader and you gotta stand up and face the music and go talk to him. You gotta go spread this word to him. I will give you instruction what to say. You don't need to make it up. Now see, that's another thing. We look at the new life. Man, what am I going to say to this guy that wants to study Bible? What am I going to say to this guy that brought this question up? God's told us what to say already. As a New Testament Christian, we got the written word. He tells us what to say. Are we a reluctant leader and push off and make excuses? Well, I can't speak. I can't do this. Moses did just that. We know also another gentleman said he wasn't very well at speaking, don't we? Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said he wasn't eloquent in speech. He was rude in speech, but yet he wasn't shy to spread the gospel truth. That was the one that took up the cross. He took up the calling immediately when God called him, and he spoke and taught God's word, giving us that example under the new law, how we should react like Moses should react to God the first time. Yes, Lord, I'm on it. Because God said, I will give you what to say. He's given it to us today. He's telling us that today in the new law. He says, I've given you what to say. I've given you what to follow. I've given you the roadmap. All you got to do is react to it. You got to be an instrument. You got to be that chosen instrument. Every one of us are a chosen instrument like Moses in a sense, is that we're called to serve the Lord. Every one of us are called to serve the Lord. We're all that instrument. So we look at a leadership. Yes, he was definitely called to a leadership role that not all can fill. But as a God calling, a Christian calling, we're all called to the same similar type of leadership role, and that is to serve God and share the gospel. To live faithfully to him and give him the praise and the glory. In this case, Moses was called to go back to Pharaoh and free the children of Israel and free them from their bondage and bring them into the promised land. But they won't believe. God gives us all we need. He supplies enough. You think about that. And Paul, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, talks about that. He wasn't that great orator. He wasn't that great Greek philosopher that had the great words to speak. Or maybe, I don't know what it was. You know, but he himself proclaim that. But God gives us everything we need. He gives us the power to speak. He gives us the understanding of his will today. We have it written. Moses had it spoken to him. Today we have it here every day all the time. Just keep flipping that page and looking at it. Yep, still there. Still got to do it. Well, God wasn't going anywhere. And he wasn't going to let Moses out. You know, so Moses, God says, great. Okay, you got your brother Aaron. Aaron can speak for you. You're still going to go side by side with him, shoulder to shoulder, Pharaoh. You're not letting you out of this. You're going to go. God accommodated him a little bit and gave him Aaron. So we know Moses became that leader at that point because reluctantly, willingly, whatever it was at that point, he realized God was going to win this battle. Moses was the chosen vessel at this point. He was the chosen leader. Aaron was going to help him be the voice before Pharaoh. So them two went before Pharaoh, and Moses became that great leader. Today, we're called to be just such leaders, such Christians in the life that we live. Are we driving towards that? Are we running and hiding and looking for someone else to pull that trigger for us? You know, maybe it was the test Moses didn't want to face. Maybe it was the trials and tribulations, which I know in our human weaknesses, I can speak for all of you, but that's one thing I think about. Man, I don't know if I want to go through that. Do I really want to be put through this? Oh, they're really going to be hard on me. Man, that's going to be brutal. Do I want to go stand and speak before this crowd of angry mob kind of attitude? No, I don't. That's not human nature for us to love to do that. But God drives us to do it. God's love for God should drive us to do that. You know, the Bible in James chapter 1, in beginning in 1 through 4, talks about the trying of your faith brings about patience. And the Bible also tells us that patience have her perfect work, her complete work, that we may be complete, we may be full. This was a situation where sometimes we pull ourselves out of. We may try to, and Moses tried to pull himself out of here where maybe he's going to be tried. His patience is going to be stretched thin. He feels insignificant. and he wants to remove himself out of the situation. And God says, you don't understand, Moses. This is going to make you better. It's going to make you better. This is what you need for your work. To be found with God, this is what you need. I think that's what God was telling him. Look, you don't understand. I'm putting you in this, and yes, this is going to happen. But the Bible tells us right here, the trying of your faith, the trying and the temptations you're going to face, and when you endure, it makes you a better person. You're going to be a better leader, a better human being that people want to be around, first of all, because who doesn't want to be around Christian-type people? They just don't want to hear the word taught to them, but they like the morals we keep, don't they? Moses is going to be that man, and he's going to be able to lead and understand how to lead better. And he's going to please God. Think about that a minute. He almost pulled himself out of that situation. He tried. If it was Moses' will at the beginning, he would have ripped himself out of there. So I think, okay, as a Christian, how have I tried to pull myself out of a situation? It was uncomfortable, maybe a little tough. I took the easy road. Nope, going to avoid that. And maybe God was directing me down the harder path, saying, look, Dan, you don't understand. You need this trying of your faith. Because the Bible says it brings about patience. It is a good thing when you endure. When you endure through the end. So Moses is that man here. He's already become that. He's already taken up with Aaron. Whatever his mindset was, we don't know. But we know he obeyed God. And he followed and went with Aaron. You know, there are many challenges when they're out in the wilderness. Moses then gets the children of Israel. Will avoid the plagues and all that. And the exodus out of Egypt. I'm jumping forward now to they're out in the desert wilderness wanderings. Many challenges Moses faced. People believed Moses. He parted the Red Sea. He did all these things and fled Pharaoh. Stood up to Pharaoh. Overcome his magicians. All these great things. They seen the power of God right before their eyes. But they get out in the desert and what happens? Well, they start whining. They start crying. They start complaining. Bread again. They didn't have to do nothing for it. God delivered them. They said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Where is your God? He went up into the mountain. They go make a golden calf. I'm going to worship him because they couldn't wait on Moses. People get impatient, don't they? They believed in God. Oh, God, he saved us, you know, from the Egyptian army. We're all great. We love you. We're right there like Peter told Jesus. I'll die with you, Lord. That was kind of their mindset probably, back then. Then all of a sudden they got in the desert and they forget. And they go, getting bored, Lord. Where's this God? Moses is up there, whatever. He's been gone for a month and some days. We're tired of him. Well, Moses as a leader carried on. Moses as one that understood God's commands and laws and was God's voice, if you will, to mankind on this earth at the time, continued to press on whether it was persecutions at this point, whether even his own people, family, blood family, family of Israelites, God's people, were turning on him. Moses knew he couldn't compromise the faith. He knew he couldn't compromise God's will. We know there were things that went on. And one of the big things we look at Moses is, moving on quickly, if you will, one of the biggest mistakes he may have made, mistakes, errors, or judgment calls, there was two of them really. He listened to the report of the spies to go into the promised land and take it. A number one, God says, go take the land. Didn't say, go look it out, think about it, look at it, measure it up, see what you think. If you guys think you feel pretty good today, you might want to go over there. I'm going to give that to you someday. No, God says, Moses, go get the promised land. It's time. Well, they sent spies. Wow, these guys are big. They're strong. Their walls are thick. They're huge. We can't do it. Well, as a leader, Moses says, well, these are insurmountable odds. Today in the church, do we think, well, nobody's listening. There's all these liberties and all this lax of law. There's all these things. Nobody cares about the gospel anymore. We can't overcome the world. We could relate it to that way if we wanted to. But Moses says can't do it. So they backed down. Didn't go in. Now, the people started to murmur again. And one of the last things Moses did, I think we're looking at, is more of a bad trait of Moses, if you will. The people got thirsty again. I say again because if you all know the story, it happened twice. They got thirsty. They got upset. They started grumbling. And Moses had to deal with this. Thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people he had to deal with complaining at him. Moses, you led us out here to die. We have no water. Well, Moses went to God, as Moses always did. And it was a good example for us today. When Moses did something, what did he do? Didn't go to Miriam, his sister. Didn't go to Aaron. He went to God. He prayed over it. He went to God and God spoke to him. As God did in this time, he spoke to Moses and told him, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get Aaron, get the staff, go before the children of Israel, go before the rock. I want you to speak to the rock, and water will flow from the rock, and it will feed or provide water for the families, the people, and all their livestock. Now go do this, Moses. So Moses goes in there, and he goes and does what the Lord says, goes in, strikes the rock twice, water flows out, everybody drinks. Happy ending, right? Forgot one thing. And here's one thing is a good lesson for us to think about, I think, and this is where I get excited to listen to these lessons. Man, really? I didn't read that. I didn't catch that the first time. Exodus 17. Moses was told to strike the rock in Exodus 17 for water. He wasn't told to strike it here. Is that a small point, Dan? That's a huge point. Think about that. Well, Lord, I did all you told me to do. I've come to worship on the first day of the week. We broke breads. We drank cups or whatever it is we did. Lord, I followed your will. I was here every. I never missed the Lord's day in my life. Lord, Lord. Receive me into heaven. Just like Matthew talks about, the prophecy Christ talks about. I never knew you. Why is that? Why is that so important, Lord? I had cups and breads. What's one cup, one bread? What's the difference? Strike the rock, speak to the rock. That small word was the final straw, I guess, if you will, that cost him the promised land. Wow. Can you believe that? You ever think about that? Taking a stick and smacking a rock. Well, it's just a rock. It brought water. But then also God didn't get the glory, did he? And Moses kind of said, how much longer shall we have to provide you with this? He didn't give God the glory. Interesting story. You can read that and continue on your studies and think about that. But he lacked one small point. Today in our life, what one small thing do we avoid? We just kind of braze over it and think it's not that important. And we continue to do what we think is right, but not really looking at what was commanded to be right. As a leader, that's a challenge. We got to always look and watch that. We know that. As a Christian, it's an absolute must also. We're all Christians, whatever role we share in. We're looking at the scriptures, and we got to constantly study and to read. I guess 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1 there, Apostle Paul talks to the church of Corinth. He says, I'm going to talk to you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and baptism. Not, he goes, and it's the gospel in which you now stand, but it's needful for you to hear it again. It's needful for me to repeat these things. It's not cumbersome. We need to continue to rehearse. We need to continue to hear and read because there might be one thing we forget. Moses, all he had to do was speak to the rock. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He struck that rock. What a small thing to cost you the promised land and all those years. Now think about this. Moses had struggled. There were some tough times, wasn't it? He was counting on that promised land. He was trying to serve the Lord, but he got lax. He made one oversight, or two, if you will, in this story within a few chapters there. Well, one good thing about Moses, many good things, but Moses identified himself with commoners. Now, we think about that and think, well, that's good. But the Bible talks about it in the New Testament, too, about do we prefer those who come in costly array and dress nice over one that may be in commoner clothes or laborer clothes, maybe a little dirty, but it's the best he had, and we were, oh, well, put him over here, remove all the well-dressed people up here. The Bible talks about that. Talked about the Jews doing such a thing. Warned us, don't do that. These are my people. The poor, Jesus went out amongst. Jesus laid his head on a rock at night to sleep. He didn't sleep in a castle. He was a king, but didn't sleep in a castle, did he? He identified with the commoners. Hebrews 11:25 says, and Moses chose to endure the hardship of the people rather than live in the lap of luxury. He chose that. He walked away from that. Wow. I don't see Bill Gates walking away from his mansion and going out and living under the streets and the bridges with the people. I don't see very many of the, or hear of any ever doing that are wealthy beyond belief. That was Moses. That was his situation. President Obama's daughters, can you imagine them doing that? The world would turn upside down. What are they doing? Well, Moses turned his world upside down. Do we do the same? And that's why when you look at the New Testament, the Christians, we've got to turn ourselves around. We've got to be a different person. It may cost us some stuff. We may be challenged to do things. To lead, we may be challenged to do things different or give up things that we used to do in order to be that leader or to become a baptized member. We've got to change our life. We've got to give up some things in this life that are not beneficial to us, to take up something that's going to be much more beneficial for us. That is the gospel call. Moving on quickly, I got to keep moving. We're running behind here. He was patient in trials. You know, he did show some impatience at times, I would say, with the Egyptian soldier before he was called by God. But that was before his calling of God. But after that, he showed quite a bit of patience and long-suffering with the children of Israel. When they lacked water, when they cried about manna, when they complained about dying in the desert, he was there. He was there and taking on these burdens and answering the children of Israel and praying for them with God. He understood and took the criticisms and the attacks. He didn't go on the offensive at this point. We know Aaron and Miriam actually challenged him on his choice of a wife, called him out on his wife. And there's many examples of that, but there's some examples we can look at that maybe this woman was of a different race because of her nation, her nationality, and they called him out on it. He withstood that. Then they got struck down. We know Miriam with a plague, and even Moses was the first to jump in the middle and pray to God and stop that plague against his sister that called him out and went against him. He had trouble in his family, but he didn't lose compassion. He prayed for him. He labored for him, whether they agreed with him or not. He continued to be the same. Are we the same when we face trials and tribulations like that? Even when it's family. That is tough. But God commands us to do it, doesn't he? To stick to the word, but have compassion and love for those people still. All men, even those who do you evil. Pray for them who despitefully use you, the Bible tells us. Even in our own household. Moses showed that characteristic. He understood that and kept that up. Numbers chapter 12 talks about that. You know, Israel got tired of hearing about God. Moses didn't say, you know what, I'm getting tired of it too. He's wearing me out. Nope, he kept the course. He kept in the faith when the faith wasn't popular. Now, how many people do that today? We think about that. The gospel isn't popular today. Church isn't popular. Moral living isn't popular. Man, who are you? You're a real freak show, Dan. You believe in one wife for life. You don't believe in this and a gay marriage. All that. No, I don't. Well, you're strange. Hold the course. Moses did just that. He gives us a great example. He accepts sound advice. I'm going to move very quickly. The sound advice, I think, is key. Jethro, his father-in-law, Midianite priest, told Moses, he looked at Moses, and here's Moses dealing with all the burdens of the people of Israel. And this wasn't like the congregation here. There was a bunch, hundreds of thousands. And they were lining up from morning till dark, lining up, coming to Moses, bringing all the troubles and issues they had with one another or whatever it was. And Moses discerned between what their problem was and gave them God's command, gave them God's law. They had to be the lawgiver. They had to at least be able to explain the law. Moses did that. He was able to explain, expound it to them, and tell them who's right, who's wrong, or what would God expect out of them. Well, it was burdensome. Now, here's where leadership can't do it all. One man leading this many people was just unrealistic. Just like today, we can't expect too much out of leadership. There's got to be some people that step up and work too. We have elders who we're talking about ordaining here. They have deacons that help do the work as elders by themselves. The Bible knows cannot do all the works and things they need to do. They can't be everywhere all the time. Moses was trying to do that. Moses was trying to do that, and Jethro says, look, Moses, this isn't good. This isn't good. You need to get some good name, men that you can show and direct that will help take some of these burdens off you over the tens of thousands, the thousands, and the hundreds and the tens. Break them down. Get some leaders. Get some qualified men to take up their cross and bear the burden too and relieve your burden, that the word of God may grow. Because he said this word isn't going to grow. At the rate you're going, Moses, you're all going to collapse. You're going to collapse, and what's going to happen to the children of Israel? There was no one left to help spread the word and share what God's commands were or to discern these issues. So he took sound advice and did just that and appointed the 70 to help him out. Some of the greatest examples of a mighty, powerful leader going, you're right, I can't do it all. There's days I thought I could. It wasn't as great as Moses. Challenges. Matter of fact, that's embarrassing because it was just some minute thing. I can do this. How many times I get proven wrong? I didn't want to ask for help because that just shows I'm weak. I'm not going to ask for directions because I know where I'm at. That kind of attitude. Well, that's what happened. He humbled himself. He realized his father-in-law, had wise advice. Do we accept wise advice when we hear it? Or are we one of those people that ask for advice looking for our own opinion we've already made up? You know, I'm going to come to you and say, you know, what do you think of this? I already know what I think of it. And if you don't agree with me, I'm going to go to somebody else. Okay, what do you think of this? Okay, what do you think? Oh, this one agrees with me. Yeah, okay, I got sound advice now. No, that's just my own thinking already. That's not what Moses did. He's taking sound reasoning, sound advice that made sense and applying it. We can all take and give advice. We don't always have to apply it. Moses applied it. He dealt with sin quickly, moving on fast. He dealt with sin quickly. You know, Moses didn't let sin dwell in the camp. It was command of the God not to let that happen. There was no to be sin found in the monks of camp. When it was, Moses reacted quickly. Not because Moses was so angry and this person is just so horrible and he just couldn't stand that person no more. Moses had love for those people, just like God did. But God's command was deal with the sin and get it removed from the camp that it may not spread. Whenever sin arise, there were stonings, there were things of that nature that luckily we don't face today. Under the old law, they did. Breaking the Sabbath, stoning, unruly children, those things took place. People were slain. Moses was quick to respond to God's will, as uncomfortable as it may have been. It may have been his friends. It may have been somebody that he was really fond of, closely. But if there was sin and the Lord commanded it, Moses did it. Well, that's tough to do in this life when we see somebody do wrong and you feel bad and you don't want to make them angry and you don't want to upset them. And we got to remember, it's God's word, not ours. Knowing that they're going to get mad at the messenger first. Isn't that the case? You're just bringing God's word and you can have them read it for themselves, but they're going to get mad at you because you made them read it. And it hit home. But Moses knew that. Moses kept the faith. He kept it. A good leader will do that. I'm going to move very quickly and just jump to some verses. Moses was very humble gentleman. Think about all he had and all he could have done. I don't recall any time that Moses really prayed for himself for great abundance or something better than the children had endured. He didn't ask to be removed from anything they faced. Instead, he was right there with them and did that. He was quick to intercede for others. We look at the bottom of the Mount Sinai there and the golden calf, and Moses was quick to intercede for them and their sin and their great trespass. And then he went to God, and the final word was, well, whoever's on the Lord's side, let them come to you, Moses, and whoever else isn't, they shall die by the sword. But he was quick to pray on their behalf. Lord, help them. Not to say, see, bunch of heathens over there. No, he took care of them. He was worried. And then he also was willing to bring down the discipline when the Lord said, you know what? Those who won't come are no longer with you. They will not be numbered with you. Take them by the sword. Tough rules, isn't it? You know, sometimes we have to look at that. We got to make the tough calls in this life. As Christians, we make things that just, man, Lord, how can you put me in this position? I've never been put in Moses' position. I've never taken up a sword or a gun or anger or death to anybody, let alone my family, friends, or those in the church. Can you imagine? Be tough. But Moses followed out God's direct command. Well, he was humbled. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us this. And you always wonder about, I don't want to say God's sense of humor, but God's got a sense about him. I call it a sense of humor. I don't want to belittle it. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, sent you to the wilderness for 40 years. Okay, why did he make him wander for 40 years? He's out there herding goats and everything else. It says to humble him. It was to humble him. To see if he would serve God, to see where he was. It was a test. Man, I tell you what, I'm sitting there going through things in my life, and I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, man, help me. I'm saying in 5 minutes. I'm saying by tomorrow, by tonight. Lord, get me out of this. I've struggled for an hour, a week, a month. I can't imagine 40 years of being tested. But you know what? Guess what? We all are. Every one of you, whatever age you find yourself in, we're living the test right now. We're serving God. We're following God's command. We're being tested every day, the trying of our faith, which we've already talked about. But imagine some of the trials and physical tests he had to go through. 40 years in the wilderness. He wandered as a sheep herder. 40 years he grew up in Egypt. Then he goes, where does he go back? Well, if we start out in Egypt, goes to the desert. And then where does the Lord make him go when he brings the children of Israel out of Egypt? Right back to the desert. How long did he go? 40 years. Now, all these 40s, and I'm not a big numbers guy, but it is unique. If you start looking at the number 40 in the Bible, 40 days, 40 years, it plays over and over. Whatever reason that is, that's God's decision. But Moses, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, the Midian desert, 40 years with the children of Israel. He was 80 years old, folks, approximately, before he was even called to lead. You ever think about that? We want to, you know, we think we're capable of leading sometimes way too early, sometimes way too late. He was 80 years old before he even got the call to lead. He had to be humbled first. But 40 years old, you know, you're thinking, okay, he's around 40-some years old. He was pretty well-versed, educated, understood everything. Nope. He needs 40 more years out in that desert. Come back, he'll be about 80. Now you can lead. And he was still a reluctant leader at that point, wasn't he? He was a little reluctant, pushed back a little bit. Well, the point being here is to us today, things don't happen overnight. We pray for wisdom, which is commanded. We pray for understanding, knowledge. We pray for a lot of things, but we may not get relieved of them. We may not receive that growth or that benefit. We may have to put in some more hours. We may have to put in some more days, more time and study. We may have to endure some more hardships because our time isn't yet because the Lord's numbered that day and that hour and that moment for our trying of our faith. He's going to see where we stand. There's a challenge to us in this life. You know, there's some things that are hard. You know, have you ever studied something in the Bible? And I'll move very quickly here. But you ever studied something in the Bible and you struggle with it? I just don't get it. I don't get it. I've read this over and over and it baffles me. Then one day you go back and you study it again and go, wow, how could I have missed it? I was so blind. That might have been the Lord trying to humble me and saying, Dan, slow down. Quit putting your own personal opinion in there and read the Bible. Maybe I was trying to twist it to fit my own thought of the preconceived idea I had. I don't know. But there's trying, there's time, there's effort. Nothing happens on our time frame. Moses had to be patient. He had to live out his life such. He had to be trained and educated and shown and humbled and live as a peasant. He lived 40 years in a lap of luxury, folks. Now he's living in the desert where there's no water. If you ever lived in a desert, I have, you don't want to go an hour without water. That is a serious thing. And he had to live out there where they were constantly struggling for water and struggling for life, if you will, just to survive. You know, one thing we can read, and I'm going to wrap this up here real quickly here. In Leviticus chapter 8, one thing we can take from some of this lesson, and I think it's Leviticus 8 talks about it, I do believe I count at least seven times, where the Bible records it as such, talking about the Levites and the institution of the priesthood and all the things that was told to Moses by God. It says, and Moses did all the Lord commanded. I come there because, man, if you see the directions and instructions for the priest and read that book, and it says, Moses did all the Lord commanded. Well, Moses did in his life pretty much do all the Lord commanded. He had a couple moments of weakness. He had a couple moments where he fell, but he showed us as a God-fearing man how to pick yourself back up. You don't stay that way. You keep serving the Lord. You get back. You get right with the Lord. You get right and you get correct and you stay with God and stay with his word. And get back there. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, we know it says that he's all died in faith. And it talks about Moses died in faith. Even though he didn't receive the promised land, he made mistakes. He showed us human weakness. He wasn't perfect. We're not perfect. But he showed us the way and a pattern that we should live, guide, lead, and live our lives. He gave us a great example. Now, the greatest example of all is Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. This isn't the best. Jesus Christ was the ultimate one we're to follow. But I think as we look at Moses, there's some very practical applications to today's living and leading the church, leading others, guiding the home, caring for others, caring for those who sin, maybe wronged us. The compassion we show upon them, the first thing we should do is pray for their soul, not get angry with them. These are great things. But he says in Leviticus 8, he did all the Lord commanded. What a thing to have said to you. Wouldn't it be great that we all can have that said to us? You know, we have something written about us like that. That'd be an awesome, awesome thing to do. Well, he showed us many things here, and I hope you found this as interesting as I did. I'm going to wrap it up right here. But I think there are a lot of things in here for our learning, a lot of things to live by, a lot of things that we can learn and take from our example. And one last verse I want to read in closing is this. I'm turning over to John chapter 15. In the fifth verse, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. How is that? That you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue in my love, the Bible says. Don't forget. Don't leave me. Do what I've commanded. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus talking about his upcoming death on the cross. He's going to lay his life down for you and I. We are his friends. How? If we keep his commandments. We stay in the word. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Very simple. There's no other way. He says, you're my friend. How do we do that, Lord? Keep my commandments.